Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
To Gamer Tag Radio, episode 791. This is your host Danny. Joining us this week, the whole Gamer Tag Radio crew. Let's start with Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Scum is in the air.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
No.
We definitely got to talk about that later.
Oh, no, we will. Sure. We will definitely talk about that because I've been, I don't know, like 15, 16, 17 hours. Played another 4.5 hours last night. It's just, it sucks you in. But we'll talk more about that later on in the show.
Awesome. And also joining us is Paris.
Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good, man. What's up with you, man?
Ozark Season 2. That's what's up with me.
Ooh,
that is easily nice. One of the best shows out on any platform right now. If you love Season 1, Season 2 just hits the ground right where Season 1 ended. It's freaking great.
Cool.
Nice. You know, I just found out that Stranger Things is delayed until next year. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's going to, we're not getting season 3 for a while.
Man, I was like, oh, it's coming out in October. Me thinking the whole time. Yeah, right. At all. So, yeah, 2019. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. You also could find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, breaking news. By the way, guys, the puddle in Spider-Man is smaller.
Puddlegate.
I just want to say that.
#Puddlegate.
Puddlegate. Yo, that has to be one of the most ridiculous conversations that people are having right now about Spider-Man. Enjoy the freaking game. Do you have the game? Why are you even complaining? God, I don't get it. People just, I don't know. But, another game, too, that I want to talk about is Battlefield 5, delayed to November.
So we're not allowed to talk about the puddle?
No, it's...
I mean,
it's,
do you really want to talk about it? I mean, is that serious? Because I really don't...
Well,
I don't
not, think that's not serious. The puddle itself.
But explain the concept.
I actually have an issue with... Okay, to explain the puddle. Basically, there was a Twitter conversation that happened with someone and Insomniac. They showed a screenshot from 2017 and they showed a screenshot from 2018 of Spider-Man on PlayStation 4. And in 2017, it was a big ass puddle. And on 2018, it was a small puddle. And people were screaming outraged that they've downgraded the game because the puddle is smaller. Insomniac, having to waste their time, responded and said that no, it was an artistic choice. There is no downgrade. We've not changed anything with the engine. Trust us, there's bigger puddles in other areas of the game. Ridiculous. My issue is this. Number one, like I said, this is one of the silliest things ever that it was even an outrage, number one. But the fact that news outlets actually reported on it, I think is part of the problem. It should have just been ignored. It should have just been seen as silly Twitter talk. But instead, it was made a bigger issue because people, and we're talking about it now, actually reported on it on various gaming sites. That's the problem with it. We enable the silly talk because we feed the silliness by talking about it. And I think that's what we got to get away from, is stop enabling all these crazy people on social media that want to complain about everything. There's, like you said, Danny, no one has the game. How can you complain about something you don't have it? You're looking at a screenshot. You don't know why they did that until you actually play it. And someone had the perfect tweet about this in that whole thread with Insomniac. This is why CD Projekt Red had been so hesitant to show off the Cyberpunk demo, because they don't want to be held accountable for a game that's probably 2 or 3 years away. You know what I'm saying? So we want to see all this stuff early. We want to know that it's coming. But then at the same time, we're going to hold that company that, yep, the game better be exactly this when it comes out 2 years from now. We're going to yell and scream on Twitter. So I don't know. I just wanted to say that part before we move on, unless you want to add something else.
No, I'm actually glad you said that, because in that example, like CD Projekt Red or anybody else that shows off their stuff early, they're then held accountable for the next 2 or 3 years or to whenever it's released. And it's not fair. Game development changes over throughout the life cycle of the product. That's just that's just the way it evolves. Sometimes it comes out for the better, sometimes it comes out for the worse, but you won't know until it comes out in the end. But yeah, it's over a puddle. And overall, and honestly, it's not the full puddle. If you take a look at the entire picture in and of itself, there are other changes, and that could have been for whatever reasons. Who knows? Play the game first before you start getting onto your soapbox and hyper-criticizing, you know, something as trivial as a puddle in a screenshot. In a screenshot! It wasn't actually live video that you saw. It was a screen-captured asset. Is it really that big of a deal?
I don't know. I was just joking around with it. That's how I didn't really want to talk about it, but I get it why Paris had to say that, because the media, they just want to take advantage and get some clicks, you know? But whatever. Just don't worry about it, guys. Spider-Man's not going to get wet that much now. So, anyways, let's talk about Battlefield 5. Let's talk about Battlefield 5, man. The game is delayed now to November. What's the actual date in November is coming out?
20th, I believe, right?
November 20th.
Oh, man. Correct. So that's confirmed. The end of November, right before, you know, Black Friday. So your thoughts about this? Because I personally think that the reason why the game got delayed, not because they want to, like, make the game better. I think this is more of Call of Duty and Red Dead, in my opinion. But your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I mean, their official statement was to improve the game, which, hey, I think we always say, take as much time as you need if it's going to improve the game. No one's going to argue that. But look, let's be realistic here. Going back 2 years ago, the Titanfall 2 fiasco, everyone was calling it, they're taking American Battlefield, they're going to Titanfall 2 it. Because if you remember 2 years ago, they released Titanfall 2 basically head-to-head against their own game in Battlefield at that time, and Call of Duty. And everybody's like, why the hell are you doing this? This makes no sense. And then Titanfall 2 tanked as far as sales went. If you look at this year, Battlefield is coming out day and date as Red Dead, I believe. No one will be talking about Red Dead in the week leading up to and the week leading after. It is going to get buried in the news cycle because everything's going to be about Red Dead. Not to mention, and I'm doing quotes, rumor, because we don't know it 100% to be true, the pre-order sales of Battlefield have not met projections either. So if you combine all those things, like say there's some things they still want to tweak on the game, the fact that it's going up against what will be the number one selling game this holiday in Red Dead directly, day and date, it kind of makes sense. Plus the pre-order sales are low. Delay it. Delay it as far as you can so that you can give it some room to breathe. So I do think this is a very smart move by EA doing this, because now Battlefield can own the news cycle in that November 20th, right before Thanksgiving, you know,
Black time. Friday.
And you know, Danny, you and I were talking about this offline. I don't think they can delay it any further than that, because if you look at it, Smash Brothers comes out in December. Again, mm-hmm. That's going to own the news cycle when that comes out. Yeah. That will be the game mm-hmm. everyone's talking about. And then if you float it into, let's delay it to early 2019, Kingdom Hearts 3, Metro Exodus, Anthem, their own game, Crackdown 3, The Division 2. There's so many games coming out in early 2019 that they risk going through the same problem that they have right now, you know, here this holiday. So to me, that November timeframe seems about right. Hopefully, it also gives them time to actually say what the hell their Battle Royale mode is, show it off. They're going to have this open beta that's coming pretty soon. Let people get hands on with it and actually build some buzz behind Battlefield. Because I'll be honest with you, if you told me I had to pick between the two, Call of Duty or Battlefield, as a pure shooter, I'm picking Battlefield every time. Battlefield, in my opinion, is the better online shooter than Call of Duty. But that really doesn't matter because Call of Duty is the more popular one. That's the one everyone gravitates towards. So EA needs to differentiate the two, not put them head to head, and let people, like I said, let this beta tell the story for them, and then say, look, November 20th, you've already spent you know your birthday money on Red Dead, and I spend your Christmas money and turkey money on Battlefield. That's what they got to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's smart. Like, you know, for all those reasons Paris mentioned. But if you want to get your taste of hyper-realistic shooters, you can go out and get the Insurgency Sandstorm beta by pre-ordering their game. I don't know if, and that's super subjective what Paris said about, you know, Battlefield being the better shooter. It's a preference at that point. I mean, sales says one thing, you know, but you know, in my personal opinion, I think I've enjoyed Call of Duty a lot more than the Battlefield side of it. But things change, you know? So right now, both titles are kind of iffy for me. Battlefield 5 looks impressive. I'm hyped for, I think it's tomorrow, Monday, when the beta preload starts for Battlefield 5. So I'll be curious to see. I'll be trying that out a little bit. But if you want a shooter now that looks and plays a lot like Battlefield, you may want to check out Insurgency Sandstorm, which releases later in September, and that'll hold you off until you get to November 20th. I think they picked that date because it's right before Thanksgiving, right before Black Friday. You didn't want to lose out on those holiday sales numbers. Aside from the fact that, yeah, Red Dead Redemption is going to be, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 is going to be the monster, you know, that nobody wants to fight this holiday season. So it's going to be very, very curious to see how EA and I'm and you know, we talked about that last week with the whole sales projection numbers. That's, you know, it's almost seems like a skewed number because it doesn't take into account other you know, sales, brick and mortars, etc. So we will see.
Well, I know that Call of Duty Battle Royale beta is coming out in a couple of days. Still no information, still nobody knows like how many players online for the official game. So there is rumors that for the beta, there's only going to be 60 players in the beta for the Call of Duty Blackout mode. And depending on the testing of this, then maybe the retail version will be 100 players. Still not 100%. This is all straight up rumors. Your thoughts if this is official that the game is going to have 60 players instead of 100 for the beta image, only.
The image that was used is like 2 months old. So I want to say that image was actually captured either during the beta or during a private play test session where it actually shows 60 max network players. So again, that could have been just for those internal game sessions for testing. We don't know because it's still in active development. We won't know until the beta itself actively goes out and is playable by players later on in October. September 10th. We'll see. And if you installed the beta last month and played it, you don't have to delete it. You can just let it update and you'll be able to have access to it. So you don't have to download that monster beta file again. But it's going to... I'm still on the fence about it. I know from what I remember, it's supposed to be some kind of a PvE/PvP type battle royale. So we're supposed to have like zombies, etc., maybe in there. And then you have
there's a mode probably like that. Then
I don't know. We won't know. Again, we won't know, and that's the reason. It's the beta. It's to gauge interest as well as to play test their network and make sure that they've got all their infrastructure and everything else in place to support it 100%. On launch, it's still in active development. So things could change. Things could be, things will definitely be fluid leading up to it. But if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I'm wrong, 6 weeks is when they literally shut down everything and go, and that's when they plan to go gold, in air quotes, right? So they've got anywhere up until maybe the middle of September. I mean, you're pushing it really close by going into the middle of September because that leaves you around 4 weeks to go gold. But then, as we have seen, as has become common, you know, day one update patch to fix whatever things were not, you know, updated or corrected when they shipped it, when they pushed to gold. So I'm curious to see what this whole blackout mode is, obviously, because knowing my love and my love for battle royale type games, it's going to be interesting.
Paris?
I basically agree with everything that Pete's saying. I mean, there's really not much else, you know, I can add to it. As far as Call of Duty with the Battle Royale mode and just everything, like you said, literally people listening to this, it'll be a week from now when they get to play it. We'll see. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, you know, as far as when is it, October 13th? That's it, right?
I think so.
I know it's soon.
So it's like Pete's saying. I mean, you're basically looking at about 4 weeks post beta for them to go gold and get it out and everything's ready. It is the big mystery. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to love it, hate it, or whatever, but I will be there on September 10th to play it.
Yeah, October 12th is the date.
Yeah, because I'm so curious. I'm so curious to see what it is. I'm so curious to see if it's going to be the 60 players. Is it going to be the 100 players? Is it going to be 43 players just to piss us off? I don't know. But whatever it winds up being, I want to see. So I'm very keen. The fact that they've not said anything about the beta is either a good thing or a bad thing. It's either a good thing that they're holding on to some secrets that they plan to just shock the world with, or it's a bad thing because it's a freaking dumpster fire and they don't know what the hell they're doing. But I will say this, our friend over at Treyarch that we follow on Twitter, he seems very confident about what they're going to show. So that gives me hope.
Absolutely. And there is some breaking news coming out of PAX West this weekend. Somebody leaked gameplay showing a 5v5 competitive play mode called COD caster mode. So, which is kind of like the departure, because it's typically 6v6, and they did show like a chaos playlist, which in those modes were 6v6. So I'm very curious now, especially with, you know, teams starting to ramp up rosters. You know, 100 Thieves started laying out, you know, their rosters and the players that they signed, like Kenny, the other day. So we will see. Things are still coming out, and we've got, I think it's 5 weeks now. If we were looking at the calendar, maybe just under 6 weeks before going live and launch.
Do you think it's better for Treyarch not to say anything until the beta comes out, or say something a couple of days before the beta comes out? Like, talk about the beta, the features.
Say something.
What do you think is better?
I think they should say something. I do think they should say something.
Communication is key. I think it's true.
I think by the end of this week, I would really like to see them, be it a blog post or like just an official what is blackout mode video, something just to give us a peek as to what we can expect going into the beta. And then let the beta tell the full story, because we're saying now we're giving you access to it. So I would like to see them say something, get the beta, we can judge it for ourselves, and then go from there, versus don't say a word. And then I'm downloading this beta going, man, what the hell am I about to play? You know what I'm saying? I want to know something.
Yeah, man. Definitely, definitely. By the way, the next topic we're going to talk about very quick about, you know, last week in Jacksonville, there was a mass shooting during the Madden tournament. That news really messed me up, man, because usually, you know, we attend a lot of gaming events, especially esports events. You know, I've been attending Call of Duty World League. I've been to NBA 2K, the 2K League. And some events, there's always security there. Some events, there's zero security. You just go in there and that's it. But now, because of this whole mass shooting, a lot of companies now are rethinking, okay, how are we going to do this now? You know, there was even people nervous going to PAX, because PAX, there was like basically there's almost no security over there in PAX West. And I know we talked about this, guys. You know, we've been to many events, and there's barely no security at those events, man. Now, with everything that's been happening, what are your thoughts about this, man, now that video game companies are having their conversation now about having security?
It's 1,000% needed. Mm-hmm. We have to have it. After Jacksonville, let me back up. When I went to E3 this year, I remember actually complaining that we had to go through the whole security thing. And now I don't even think that was enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, PAX is going on right now as we record this. There's no way they have enough security at PAX right now. And I cringe and I hate saying that. But what if something happened? What if something happened this weekend? You know, I don't want Jacksonville to happen again. And the only way right now we can prevent it, because we don't have the gun laws in place to stop people with mental illness from actually getting a gun, we got to beef up the security. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Yeah, it's going to cause longer lines and delays, but I'd rather have to show up to an event an hour earlier than I normally would to get through security than to not have to stand in the line and potentially, like I said, forget me, my kids. I actually worry about my children now. Do I send my kids to a gaming event? Do I think it's safe? Mostly, but that thought has to creep into my head now. That's ridiculous. So I'd rather them absolutely talk about security, beef it up, and do more, because it's needed. Until we have the correct laws in place to prevent people from having guns, that this is a concern, beef up security. Period. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is something... That was the first thing you and I think in our offline chat, the day that it happened, I think it was after Danny had sent us the link. I think it was one of the first things that I said was, PAX is coming up. Security has to be paramount at that point. And you're talking that Madden event, which maybe had 100 people. And then you have to multiply that by 1,000 when you're talking about an event spanning multiple buildings in the downtown Seattle area. You know, not as a slight or an aside towards the city of Seattle, but the Pacific Northwest traditionally has a higher rate of suicides, you know, because of the weather and et cetera. I'm not saying that that's directly related to PAX, but, you know, in that general area, science has stated that, you know, they've got a really high level of suicide rates. You couple that with now you've got how many people go to PAX? 40, 50, 60,000
It's a lot.
At least, you know, you from all walks of life. You got people coming from overseas. Imagine as a parent, that's the first and foremost thing that I thought of. Right, is we're sending our kids, our friends, our brothers and sisters and family members or whatever to this large scale gaming event, which has been from day one predicated on community, and now you have to worry about security much more than you normally would have as a result. You know, that's not the whole tenet of going to a PAX or going to E3 or going to a Madden, you know, event. You know, I think Danny was the one that mentioned, well, I wonder if, what's his name was there? If Anton was there, one of our longstanding GTR community members who used to compete with Madden, one of the first Madden game changers,
mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I thought about him.
Yeah, you know, that's
a lot about him.
I'm getting goosebumps talking about it because now we know someone. Now we actively know someone who participates in Madden competitions. That could have been him. That could have been anybody that we know. You know, now as esports has evolved and is becoming more mainstream, and you see things happening in arenas, you've got Star Fox events or not Star Fox, StarCraft events. You've got League of Legends events. You know, going around the world. You know, COD, COD competitions. This is only going to get bigger. And now security has to get ramped up that much more. And I shudder to think when it actually affects someone we actively know, you know? So People, if you're listening to this, please stay vigilant when you're out at these public events. It could be this. It could be a Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. You know what I mean? It could be anywhere. Yeah. So we just have to be vigilant. We just have to be careful. Be, you know, actively aware of our surroundings and just be careful.
Yeah, and I know we talked a lot about, you know, bigger events like Madden tournaments, Call of Duty tournaments. But honestly, look, when I went to Columbus, we went to visit one of our community members, Trey. He works at a video game. I don't know if it's called like a video game bar or something that people could go in, rent. They could start playing PC games and so on. What about those venues that it's a lot smaller, no security? That part also, I was thinking about him and other people that I know that go to those events. I mean, not the events, but they go to those venues to just hang out with friends and just play and maybe play, you know, some trivia games or some Fortnite and or so on. I'm thinking about that too, man. So I think gaming overall is going to change because of this, man. It's going to change completely. Not only in bigger events, but also smaller venues. Because this place in Jacksonville is a very small venue. They just had the Madden tournament there, you know. So I've been to another event, actually another venue in New York City that's called Gaming Bar. And that one's like a lot smaller. But yeah, there's security outside. But going to other cities, I bet you there's no security. No security at all. So,
well, the thing that scares me.
We'll see what's going to happen.
The thing that scares me is. Yeah. This could have been us. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, when we threw community vibes for 3 years or whatever, the community events that we, you know, the community launch events that we did for Mafia 2, you know, in New York, in Miami, we had minimal security. We didn't have metal detectors. It wasn't a thing. You know, it wasn't. The worst part is now in 2018, it's something we have to consider. Not just as party goers, but event planners, et cetera. It's something you have to account for. We didn't have to do this before. Why should we be doing this now?
Yeah. Well, actually, I think when we first started, Pete, we had zero security.
Well, we had a security guard at the front door. That was it.
No. The early days of the first GTR party, there was no zero. There was zero security. After we were getting a lot of people and we were going to bigger venues, then yeah, we had to get security. So that's different. But our first event, zero security. Everybody just come with your TVs and Xbox. And that's how we had it back then, you know? So crazy, man. Crazy. But just be safe, everyone. Definitely be safe out there, man.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Paris, he's the cool guy right now because he has Destiny 2 Forsaken already, the expansion he just downloaded. He just has to wait until officially it's unlocked later this week.
Personal but business. Ain't nothing sacred, bro.
First of all, everybody got that email anyways. But
not everybody.
Well, Pete, you're not the cool guy. So, Paris, I know you also been playing couple modes that is available from the expansion. You want to talk about that?
Do you just want to tell it for me? You seem to be doing a pretty good job.
Hey, you're the one with the expansion, not me.
No. Hey, as my catchphrase says, all jokes aside. So first and foremost, thank Activision. Yeah, they did send me a review code for Destiny 2 Forsaken along with the annual pass for year 2. So appreciate that. Thank you, Activision. So the full game won't unlock until September 4th at 10 a.m. So Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. So I'm not playing the full game. I'm playing the Gambit preview just like everyone else is. Earlier this week, the 2.0 update dropped. So everyone has that now. So all the weapon slot changes are in place. Just the new economy is in place as far as infusing items, things like that. There is a bug right now on Mars with the flashpoint so that some year 2 weapons are dropping through that. I didn't get a weapon. I actually got the gauntlets for my Titan. I've been out of town most of this week, so I haven't had a lot of time to play. But, you know, random rolls are back for their armor and the weapons. All that stuff is great. But the thing that I want to talk about is this Gambit preview. 24 hours actually coming up here as we record. There's just only a couple hours left, and then it'll be done until the final game comes out. I'm having a freaking blast with this. It is a ton of fun. Trey and I were playing yesterday, having a lot of fun. Just to quickly explain Gambit for people that may not know what that is basically a brand new mode for Destiny 2 that is a hybrid PvE PvP game that puts two teams of four against each other where you have to take out all these PvE opponents, you know, be it, you know, Fallen or Cabal or Hive or whatever. And you get these motes that drop and you have to bank these motes and you have to get 75 spawns your prime evil, which is the final boss. You got to melt the boss. That's how you win the game. Sounds simple, But what the mix is, they throw in that the other team can send an invader. So that's where the PvP component comes in to your side of the map. The enemies will not attack him. You don't know where he's coming from. Your head's on a swivel. You have to figure that out. So while you're doing that, you can also, as you're banking moats, you can send blockers over to the other side of the team as well, which will lock their bank so they can't put any moats until they take out that blocker. Five moats sends a small, basically like a small enemy over, just like, you know, yellow bar, regular yellow bar. 10 sends a medium sized one, which is a little more powerful. And then 15, if you save that up, will send over like an actual huge, like an ogre boss type over. And you have to take him out before it unlocks your bank again. Yep. I know this sounds like a little bit all over the place. And, you know, there's a lot of different strategy that goes with this, because do you try and save up? Because if you die with moats and you've not banked them, you lose them. So you have to start over. So you have to throw that strategy in. And then even once you spawn your primeval boss, you know, now the other team can constantly send an invader over at any time. So you got to have your head on a swivel for that when you're doing that as well. So it, like I said, this has just been the 24-hour preview. Bungie has been showing it over the summer at various events. But it is a lot of fun. And what I think this potentially can do, because we saw Bungie host a Twitch stream earlier this week with Miss 5000 Watts, True Vanguard, and some celebrity people as well. Like, I think, what was it?
Zach Levine.
Yeah.
Vic Staples.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can remember anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's celebrity people. That's all that matters. Anyway, they show that off to kind of give it a big stage. But I'm telling you, this has the potential. The potential, I'm not saying it's going to be, but it has the potential to be Destiny's esport. I can see this being something that is streamed, shown at big events, you know, competitive play, the whole thing. There's definitely some tweaks that'll need to happen that we've already discovered in the past 24 hours. Like Sleeper Simulant right now is way overpowered, because if you got a team of four that all have Sleeper, you're just melting the boss quickly. Maybe that's just a part of the strategy that you need to be aware of, but I think you want to drag it out a little more to keep the intensity and the sweatiness of it. So I do think they're going to have to nerf that weapon, you know, in this mode. Bungie's already shown their roadmap for year two with the annual pass, and there will be an evolution to Gambit that is coming spring 2019. So I'm going to be curious to see how that works out as well. But overall, I'm very excited for Tuesday. I won't be playing right at 10 a.m. because I'm actually going to go to work. And then when I get home, I'm going to be playing basically the rest of the week. Hopefully, knock on wood, I will have my replacement Elgato card so I can stream properly. But if not, I may be streaming through the console. Either way, I'm going to be having content up on our Twitch channel so people can check it out. But
awesome.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. As you guys know, I don't hide my enthusiasm for this game. I've ever since we went to that E3 back in 2014 and played that strike and I threw my wallet at the screen, I've been hooked ever since. I mean, I really have. And the game's not perfect. You know, like I literally, while we've been recording this, I had someone on Twitter ask me, why is it worth the $70 that you'll have to spend for the expansion and the annual pass? And here's the thing, I can't answer that question for you. Is it worth it to me? Yes. And full disclosure, they gave it to me for free, but I was already willing to spend my money to have it because I was going to play it because I enjoy playing the game that much. But I can't answer that question for you. The only thing I can say is go check out people like Mesa Sean, who has a fantastic beginner's guide on YouTube, kind of explaining what Destiny 2 is. Do the research on what they're planning with the in-game roadmap. Do the research on the sandbox changes, on the weapon changes, everything with the random rolls, the way that they're changing up the collections and the quests and just everything that they've already told you about year two. And then you make up your mind if you think it's worth $70. And I'll say this for Destiny or any game, if you're on the fence, wait. No one is forcing you to invest into a game day one. Wait and see what the community has to say. Because guess what? Community ain't going to lie. Community is going to tell you the truth every time if they're enjoying something or not. And I think we've seen over the past year with Bungie, they are definitely not perfect. It took them a calendar year to freaking fix this game. It has been a freaking struggle to stay with this game. And I've taken many a break over the year, but I was confident that we were going to get to this point with it. And I'm very happy with the changes that they've made. And yeah, I'm ready to go back all in again. So I probably talked too much. I'm sorry, but you guys know I love the game.
That's fine.
So.
Oh, yeah. It's fine.
You get Paris going on Destiny.
but if you're a PlayStation owner and you have PSN, you could download the game, the part two, for free, right? So if you want to try that out before you invest into the expansion, go with that, man. I think that was a very smart move from Sony to have the game available for free for PSN Plus players.
And I can tell you already, it's working. I do think it was a very smart move by Activision and PlayStation to make the base game of Destiny 2 free on PlayStation Plus, because, you know, it allows you to jump in and be able to check out the original campaign, and all these sandbox changes are available to you right now for free. You can go play Gambit right now for free. And I noticed just playing over the last day or so, if you go to the European Dead Zone on Earth, because that's kind of where you start off at, tons of new people there. Tons of level 2, level 3, level 5 people that you see running around. So people are picking it up and checking it out. And that goes back to what I'm saying. Only you can make up your mind if this is worth it. And I think by at least getting the intro to the game for free, it'll let you kind of understand the world, how things work. And then if you feel like it's worth the investment, then you go buy the expansion and you move on from there.
Mm-hmm. Pete, you want to say anything about this before we go to the next topic?
Super quick. Not going to lie. Watching that Destiny preview event on Twitch the other day, I hit you up, Paris, when I started watching it. It kind of, I was like, okay, I can see an opportunity here if it's got enough forward movement to pull people in who have stepped away, people like me who have stepped away from Destiny, to play a mode like that, because that just looked like so much fun. That whole, you know, because you don't have to be a true Vanguard who is, you know, noted for being a really good PvP player. You know, you can sit there and just take care of adds and bank motes and help your person and help your team as a support versus being responsible for always providing kills to be good in a PvP mode. So I'm not saying I'm jumping back into Destiny, but it for a little bit watching that, I was like, damn, that could be a reason to jump back into Destiny. So shout out, kudos to Bungie, man. It seems like this Forsaken stuff. And I'm not even talking about the rest of the Forsaken DLC stuff. I'm just talking that one particular game / mode looked fun enough to want to try it out.
All right, Pete, let's talk about the next game, man, that you've been playing a lot and streaming also on our Twitch channel, Scum. This is the perfect game for you because you are a scumbag. So tell us a little bit about Scum, man.
Yeah. Shout out to Devolver Digital, Crow Team, and GamePires for sending me their PR team for sending me a code for early access into this early access title that's available on Steam. It's $20. Basically, it's a hyper realistic survival shooter. So think DayZ meets Rust meets Escape from Tarkov in a sense. You are dropped into an island all on your own. You actually get to go through some, and you are in early access, so you still have some features that aren't available during your character creation process, but it is a persistent world. So if you log out, you come back, you're still in the same game. If you return back to the same server, your stuff is still there. If you die and come back to where you died, you have an opportunity to recover your gear if somebody hasn't already taken it from that server. 64 people per world or per server. Hyper realistic survival. So you're dropped with nothing other than a shirt and a pair of pants and some tennis shoes, and you have to find your food. And I talked about this after my interview with them back in back at E3. But you have to find food. You have to find weapons. You have to craft ammo, because if you don't find ammo for it, you have to create your own. So you have to craft gear to be able to craft it based on the parts that you, or the qualities that you select during your character creation process, could determine whether you can craft ammo quickly or if it takes you a while because you didn't specify you wanted to be good at, you know, pistols or rifles. You can craft shelters, you can craft weapons, you can craft clothes. You have to hunt for food, whether it be animals or you find random food out there. And then here's the kicker. you have to go to your metabolism bar in your menu, and you have to keep a monitor up of your vitamins, your nutrients. If you're sick, you have to take medicine. It actually uses the NDA's market on tables on health. So you got to make sure that your vitamins are up, that your minerals are up, that you stay hydrated. It's super, and I keep saying hyper realistic because as a person, you have to monitor your food levels, right? You have to monitor how healthy you are in a sense. So it, in this game, they took that almost to the extreme. I've had a lot of fun playing with it. Talking with people, there's a couple of other streamers, some people that you know, Danny, like Eric, Slick Rick.
Oh yeah, shout out to him.
Watching me stream the game, he got interested, he bought it. He's been having a blast. Him and I have teamed up. You can actually do TeamSpeak in-game. You can voice chat, you can speak to people. I've had a couple of instances where I have gone in and I've been friendly. There's been some instances where I tried to be friendly and didn't. They sounded a little shady, so I dipped out. And then there's been instances where I've been, as you guys say, the scumbag, and I'm just straight out. I see somebody, hey, hello, pat. And I murked them on the spot and took their stuff. It's a lot of fun, but it's not without its issues right now. It is built on the Unreal Engine, which everybody seems to be happy using these days. But it does have a severe memory lock issue or a memory leak issue. And like last night I was playing, I went from 90 frames per second at the beginning. And then near the end, I was hitting 30, 35. It doesn't, it's not as, evident on the screen when you're doing things, but when you're interacting with other people, animals or NPCs such as zombies, because there are zombies in the game, you know, you start to see some of the hitching and things like that. There's another issue where some people don't like the fact that they've got background blur going on. And the reason they do background blur is if you're looking in real life and you look at something close, it's in focus, but everything behind it starts to fade out and get blurred out the further it goes out. That's one way that the developers for Scum are doing it to take less resources off of the actual game and put it towards other things versus games like PUBG, where everything is in focus 24/7, and trying to render and keep all of those things in focus 24/7 is a really, really tasking thing. That being said, for $20 and as a early access title, if you like slow-paced looter shooters with a survival with a heavy emphasis on survival and gear crafting and things like that, I do recommend it. I've been playing it, like I said, all this week. A little bit of smattering of other titles, but this has been my main player for the past week. It's not going out full release until sometime in 2019, but right now, I mean, for $20. I've spent $20 on a lot less things that I've used for a lot less time. So,
and is this also coming out for consoles next year?
They're planning on it, but right now their main focus is PC.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, we're going to play this short review. Talk to my brother about the new Naruto game, because he's a huge Naruto fan. And the game, I know it's available for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and also Steam. So we're going to talk about it right now. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio, and we have a special guest here, my brother, Nano.
What up?
Also one of the creators of Gamertag Radio.
Very long time ago, but yes, I planted the seed with Godfrey.
Yes. So I know you have a podcast. It's a weekly podcast.
Yes, sir.
About whiskey.
It's about fine spirits and pop culture. Just me and my co-host, Charles, we get a bottle every week, a new bottle, something we haven't tried before. Yeah. You know, it could be anything. Just not just whiskey. You know, we did vodka one episode with tequila, rums. We kind of just explore new things, talk about how the drink is, and and, you know, go from there. It's a conversation that starts off with alcohol, so it gets good. It gets better as the show progresses.
All right, cool, man. So what's the name of it so people could subscribe and support you guys?
The podcast name is A Gentleman's Agreement. Mm-hmm. Not only for men. Yeah, it's, you know, it's open to everybody. We have female guests, everything.
Yeah.
It's just, it's called Gentleman's Agreement. We are on any platform, I guess. You can find this everywhere. Our Spotify, social media handle is
Apple Podcasts, yeah.
At Gentleman's Pod, P-O-D. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Twitter, on...
They're very new, guys. Very new. So make sure to... We're gonna have a long conversation about a game right now. But if you can, please support, subscribe. I was there.
Godfrey was on an episode. Yeah, check out that. If you want that to be your first episode, that was one of our longest and probably our funniest ones. Like, we had a really good conversation.
I was super drunk
there. Yeah, it was like a 2-hour, 3-hour episode. It was crazy.
Yeah, make sure to tune in and subscribe. They have a every week.
Every week. Yeah, you could find it at Gentleman's Pod, or you could look for me on social media. It's at Nano551. Mm-hmm. I'm Nano551 on everything.
So, all right. Even on Xbox.
On Xbox, on PlayStation, yeah. Switch, whatever you can find me on.
Now, let's talk about this game, Nano, that
I've been looking forward to
for
a long time.
So, shout out to Bandai Namco. They sent me this game. It's called
Naruto to Boruto Shinobi Striker.
Shinobi Striker. This is for...
Kind of a long name.
This is for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Steam for PC.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came out recently. So how will you describe this game for those that never... Because look, honestly, I've never heard about this game until you mentioned it to me. And it's, right there, Bandai sent the game. I'm like, yo, now this is it. Let's have a conversation
about this game. Right? I'm a big anime fan, and I've followed Naruto, the manga, you know, when it first started.
Yeah.
To the anime series, to Naruto Shippuden, to the new one that's airing currently right now, Boruto, which is Naruto's son. It's it follows closely along those lines of, like, you know, the story, the characters, all that stuff. It's not your classic Naruto game. Like the older ones are the Ultimate Storm games,
was that the one, the 360 that came out? Was like open world.
Yeah, those were open world. Yeah.
That one is straight from the anime series.
It's parts of the anime. You know what I mean? Like, I think there was like 4 Ultimate Storms or I think so. They stopped at 4. And it pretty much covered episode 1 from Naruto to all the way to the end of Shippuden, which was the, like, if Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, you know, like the predecessor.
Yeah.
So it was like basically chunks of the anime. You know what I mean? So it was so good on the storytelling and the animation and all that. Like, it almost felt like you were watching the anime as you were playing. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed that a lot. But this game is different because it's a multiplayer game online, and it's fully customizable for your character. You could pick out what clothes he wears, pick out his weapons, accessories, what ninjutsu you're going to use, your special moves, mm-hmm. you know, the fighting style. You want to be a healer, or you want to be one of those in close fighters, you know, an attacker. Like, it lets you customize your ninja to anything you want, you know, like whatever your imagination can take him to.
Now, is this people are going to ask, is this like a fighting game? Is this an RPG game? What this game, like, what is it?
It has elements of everything. I can't, it's hard for me to classify this game as anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Specific, because it's different from any game that I've played in Naruto. And as far as, like, you know, even MMOs or RPG games that I've played, like, this is a little different. It doesn't have a real story mode. You know, their quote unquote story is, you know, just missions in the game with a few cutscenes in between. It's dope. It's cool, but it's not a real story. You know what I mean? There's no progression there. It's not like anything connects, but as you play through these missions, you unlock more characters, more weapons, accessories, costumes, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's pointless, you know, like you do it, you should do it. You should unlock every character so you could have every ninjutsu available to you.
See, when you showed me a little bit of the game, it reminded me a little bit of PSO, a little bit. Oh, somebody's there. Right now he has the
game. Yeah, I have my character like on an emote, and he's doing like some little hip hop dance move, and some guy, he was watching me, now he's doing the same dance.
Yeah, he's just there standing. This game kind of reminded me of PSO, kind of like that, because the 4-player, you get together with random folks, mm-hmm. do missions. I know you are trying to pass a boss.
Well, I was trying to do a mission timed. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, so you couldn't finish the mission.
The thing is, these missions, if you want to play with people, you can. You could also do them solo. I suggest you play with other people just so you can kind of get through it faster. Solo, it's very difficult. You know what I mean? It's a lot to go through by yourself. So if you have somebody online that you could play with, or if you don't mind not talking, then you could just do random. It's not.
But
it's
you the prefer same thing. You prefer to play with.
Yeah, I'd rather play with people. You know what I mean? Like I'm a lot of my friends. I'm in the like first person shooter, you know, group. So like these guys won't play this game, and a lot of my friends aren't anime fans. So it's hard for me to like to really get people on here. And the people that I do know have this game are on PS4. So right there's no cross platform. I'm kind of screwed. But if you want to play this game by yourself, you could totally do that. It's just it becomes very difficult as you progress throughout their you know story. The missions are ranked from like it's a class system of D, C, B, A. You know what I mean? So the further you get, you know, when you start getting to the C and B missions, yo, you can't do that by yourself. It's almost I don't want to say impossible because you could do it, but when you start brand new, your character doesn't have that many moves. You're still kind of learning the game. It's better to team up with people that are learning with you. And yeah, you may make new friends. You know what I mean? Like maybe these guys will stick around for more missions.
In this game, now I know you could also battle with other players. I know those events.
Yeah, there's they're online. Like the thing is, you could play online through the story mode, I guess, the mission mode.
Yeah,
and have people help you there, and you guys all team up, fight the NPCs, the bosses that are in the game, get items, do all that stuff. That doesn't count towards your rank. You still level up your character. You know, like. It's not you're not leveling up your character. You're just leveling up your gamer tag at this point. But if you want to enter, you know, the player versus player mode, which is the Ninja World League, the ranked system, They have base battle, flag battle, you know, regular combat battle, and there's another one called barrier battle where you have to fight. You remember the big snake that I was fighting?
Yes,
it's like a big.
That's like a boss. Like, what is? Because I know there was another character that you were fighting before him. Like, is that considered a mini boss? Like, what?
Those are summons that characters in the anime have. So certain characters have summons that they summon a big frog or a big, you know, the frog has a sword. Mm-hmm. It's Gamakichi, you know, or you know, some characters summon snakes and like big creatures and stuff. Like, those are the barrier battles where you have to fight those guys. That is tough in itself, but when in a barrier battle, let's say you have to fight that big dude plus four other people and player versus player. You know what I mean? So you got to defeat those people to unlock the big boss.
Is that a time also?
It's time. Like it everything's timed and it's tough, man. Like, it's
do you like that it's time?
Yeah. I don't want a game that goes on forever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sit in a match for 20 minutes.
Because we've been playing other online games, and when we play against a boss battle, which is a tough boss battle, right, we'd be there for a long time. So I'm wondering later on, when once you upgrade and level up and you unlock other bosses, there has to be a boss that's super long.
I haven't gotten to there yet, and I think it'll take me a week or two to like get to like the A rank.
There's no way you would finish that like in 3 minutes. Like one of those like top bosses, you know what I'm saying?
Again, I'm dying like this. There's so much customization available in this game. When you first start off, you don't have too many options. And it's kind of like you might look at it like, hey, man, I thought I could customize my ninja as much as I wanted. You know, there's only 10 hairstyles to pick from or these many costumes. There isn't. Don't get fooled by the start of the game. The more you play, the more you unlock. The more you unlock, you could literally put, you know, there's thousands of combinations you could put on your character between face paint, earrings, goggles, different type of swords, what kunai you throw, your hairstyle, all that stuff you unlock throughout the game. So don't get discouraged. The more you play, the more you get. So I would say it's worth, you know, investing some time into. It's a little bit of a grind, but
yeah. I mean, if you want to try something different, I guess, right? And do you have to be a fan of Naruto in order to enjoy this game or not really?
I think if you're a fan, it's a plus. You know what I mean? It's like, because like whenever I play the Naruto games, I'm just like, man, I love this character, but I like that character's moves. You know what I mean? Like, I like Naruto, but I wish he had Sasuke's moves, or I wish he had, you know, Kakashi's moves. You know, like certain characters that I want a little piece from everybody. But in this game, you could do that. You could find what combinations work best, what jutsu work better together. You know, if you're playing on a team of four, everybody has a role to play. You know what I mean?
So your role the majority of the time is a healer.
I like playing the healer or range, the range type, a guy, you know, you kind of stay back and just shoot stuff at people.
Okay.
The camera angle makes it really difficult to become any other type, like the attack type. You know, those guys have to be close. They have to fight the whole time. Mm-hmm. The camera in this game is... It's crazy. Like, it's.
Are you used to it now? Like, now? Because I know at first you probably, like.
Yeah, yeah, but that's annoying. The thing. I played the betas, so I knew there was an issue there. You know what I mean? I knew coming into this, I was like, man, the camera, I hope it gets better as the game gets, you know, released. It's gotten leagues beyond, like, the original beta. It's the camera's a lot more easy to work with. It's just when you get stuck by a wall, good luck. You know what I mean? Like, the camera angle is so bad when you're close to a wall or when you're being overwhelmed with players for hitting you. Like, it's almost uncontrollable. You don't know where you are. Next thing you know, you're off the map. You fall off. Mm. But when you get the camera to work in your, you know, in your favor, it's magic. You know, like, it works flawlessly. You know, the character lock. You can lock on to enemies while you fight them, which kind of makes it easier when you're fighting from far. But when you're fighting up close, there's so much happening that, like, if you lock onto a character, the camera's gonna spin around and go crazy. So. There's little things that, like, I'm expecting them to release a patch for and kind of fix. The camera, I hope it gets better. If not, it's not a deal breaker for this game. You know what I mean?
And now, what about online? Because this is an online game. Yeah, you could play solo offline, but right now you turn it on, you went straight
to... I personally wouldn't play this game offline.
Strictly online?
I'll play online. I'd rather play with a bunch of random people online than play by myself.
But is it laggy? Does disconnects?
That's one thing. I've had 50 or 60 matches already.
Wait, how many?
Like 50 to 60.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but that's nothing. There's dudes that are on level like 80 already. Wow. You know, like I'm still pretty new, but I've had a lot of games where it ran smooth, no network lag, nothing. The netcode was fine, but then I've had other games where like it's complete. You know what I mean? Like, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's almost to the point where, like... And the thing is, it's not a quick disconnect. You don't... The game just doesn't end. I was playing one time, and then out of a sudden, I was playing for, like, a minute, and I noticed I'm not taking any damage. Mm-hmm. I'm not dealing any damage, and I can't heal anybody. And I'm like, man, what's going on? All of a sudden, match is over. Yeah, you've been disconnected from the host.
But do you still get an experience or anything?
No, you don't get anything. You just lose everything. It doesn't happen... A minute into the game, it happens towards the end of the mission or end of the match, and I'm like, oh my god, I just wasted all that time.
They need to fix that.
Something that I hope Bandai Namco can you know, make a patch for, update. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. This game is big, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of hype around it.
And you see the potential too, because now I know when you start the game, the first thing that popped up was events.
Yeah, there's
what type of
I think like monthly events.
When it's monthly events, this is more story missions, or this is more like fighting.
It's for the ranked. It's for the Ninja World League, which is their online rank system.
Yeah.
They have like a, I guess like a top 10. You know, like whoever makes it to the list, though, you get something. I don't really know what it is because I tried to stay away from the ranked matches, just because I want to unlock more characters,
before
more
going
moves.
There.
Yeah, I don't want to go over there with the basic, you know. Moveset that every character has, and then you're just gonna get mopped up.
Now another thing I noticed too is that right now you're playing this Japanese.
I play with Japanese voices. As much as I respect all the people that put the hard work in to do the voiceovers, and I trust me, there's a lot of animes that I love the American voiceovers. It's just Naruto. I was never a fan of the Naruto American voices.
Okay.
So
why is that? Why is it that?
Even any anime you watch, you know, like there's characters that they just sound better in Japanese. You know what I mean? Like Naruto in Japanese sounds better than his English counterpart. You know what I mean? It's just it's no good. It's but that's personal preference. Like, but this game gives you that option. You know what I mean? You could play. Because my kids play, but they play in English because they want to hear it. You know what I mean? And they're not gonna sit here and read a bunch of like text. They'd rather hear the characters speak. So personally,
that's a good thing that you have that option.
Yeah, that's there's always, you know, like if you're forced to do something one way, I kind of, that drives me away from a game. So this game gives you a lot of options, a lot of customization, and it lets you be your own person in this game. Like, you're not kind of like restrained to one character. You can take bits of everybody. You know what I mean? When you fight somebody online and you see a new jutsu they're using and you don't have it yet, you're like, damn, you know what? I have to play more, grind a little more, unlock that jutsu, and try and find the scrolls that unlock it.
Now, as a person, because you know, I know that we have listeners that are probably kind of shy when it comes to like, wow, I'm a level 5.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play with other people level 5. I don't want to play against people that are way higher than me. Do they have that option on selecting that?
No, you don't.
Or do you have a selection? Like, how is the selection process when you play online?
That's one thing. It kind of randomly pairs you. So when you play, if you're doing mission mode, it will pair you. If you're searching for a certain mission that you want to accomplish and you want to do it with other people online, it brings you up with people that are searching for the same mission. So you could, I like to search online and search for my missions, the ones that I have to complete that are too tough for me to do
by
myself.
Right there, you will play with people that it could be different, right?
It could be
different
levels. Yeah, that's the thing. If they're searching for the mission, it'll pair you up with other people that are looking too. So like I'm right now a low level, but it'll pair me up with somebody who's like 40, 50 levels higher than me. They just have to complete that mission as well.
I noticed there was also an option where you could put rank. So you could also select people similar, close to your rank. Not exactly your rank, but...
Well, that's the thing. I don't think the ranking system goes on level. It just goes on game type. Yeah, it just goes... Because I've played games where like people are super high rank.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And, on the missions. I'm talking about missions.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I don't think that has to do with anything, but these people just play a lot of ranked. You know what I mean? Because I could have started this game and jumped right on the ranking system. You know what I mean? And not played the story mode at all. And I would have probably been a way higher rank than I am now because I know how to play the game. You know what I mean? But... I wanted to unlock more things before I jumped into the ranking world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what was it that got your attention besides you're a fan of anime?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're not a fan of anime. What was it that got your attention about?
I think what sold me on this game was the beta. They had an open beta and they had it for several weeks because they were testing out, you know, the net code, trying to figure out little kinks here and there, how to make matchmaking a little more smoother, how to streamline it better. The beta sold me completely because I've played so many Naruto games where I'm like, it's the same game over and over again. We'll play through the story. You know, it's not like I don't know the anime. You know what I mean? I've seen it for the past 10 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But this game is different. You know, like this game gave you the option to fully customize. And that sold me more than anything. You know what I mean? When I found out that it was a team-based game and, you know, there was online matches, I was like, all right, cool, whatever. But when I found out that you could... pick your jutsu, pick your costume, create your own ninja, you know, pick the type of ninja you are, team up with other people and make a team of four that's like, you know, unique to what you want it to be. Because not every team is going to be the same. Mm-hmm. That sold me the most. I was like, oh, you know what? Let me get this game because I want to play with other people that appreciate the anime as much as I do and appreciate the fact that you could, you know, become your own ninja and kind of explore that world of Naruto and just be your own character, you know? Not be Naruto or one of the other main antagonists in the game, you know, or you know, one of the villains, you know? Like, it's cool to be one of those guys, but I want to be my character. You know, my character has purple hair and blue eyes and has fire jutsu and does lightning attacks too, you know? Like, or heals or does that, you know? Like, I want to customize it to what I like, not just what the anime makes me pick, you know?
Now... to wrap it up, for someone that been very curious about this, why did she pick it up?
If you're looking for a game that has little like elements of RPG, elements of fighting games, you know, PSO remnants, you know, like things that kind of make you play as a team, forces you to kind of interact with other people and learn how to work with a team. You know, you have to really work with your people that you're playing with. If you're a fan of like working together in team-based games and just you know, games that allow you to customize your characters and all that stuff, like I think you should give this a try. Whether you're a fan of anime or not, like I think Naruto's it's a good game to get into if you want something new, you know? Like there's so many games now that's battle royale or, you know, first-person shooters. There's not much games out that are like this one. And this is something different, something that I think would be entertaining to anybody, whether you're a fan or not, of the series. And Bandai Namco, they they always have great games. You know, like I mainly play Dragon Ball FighterZ, which is, you know, their game as well. Mm-hmm. But that's very competitive. You know what I mean? It's a very competitive game. This game's not too competitive. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, of course, there's people that want to win. If you want to win, you take it serious. But if you want to have fun,
try something new,
then this is totally for you. The story mode, there's not much of a story. But the online presence and what you can do with your character is so vast that you'll put a lot of hours into this game and it won't be wasted. You know what I mean? Like, it's you're not sitting there trying to unlock a shirt. You know, you're trying to unlock new jutsu, new moves, you know, trying to see how it pairs up with your team. If you have a team that you play with, like, you know, your friends work together. You know what I mean? Like, those guys are trying to unlock stuff. You guys could do stuff together, beat the game, you know, on co-op or do it by yourself. If you want to add that difficulty, do the solo missions. It's very hard. It's very difficult. So there's a little bit of everything for anybody.
Definitely, man. And I know you mentioned earlier that you would love to play with other people.
Yes.
Team up with people that you know.
I don't have many people that I personally know that play this game. Again, like I said earlier.
He has the Xbox One version.
I have the Xbox version. If you guys want to add me, I know this gets a lot of listeners, more than what I remember. I don't want 20,000 friend requests.
Yeah.
But if you're serious about playing the game and you don't have anybody to play with.
Or you're curious about the game, you want to buy it, you don't have no friends,
mm-hmm.
you could get together.
If you buy the game because you like the series, and then again, you're like me, you're one of those people that you're in your friends group, you're the only one that likes it.
Yeah.
Add me, you know what I mean? I'm Nano551, like I said, on every platform, but on Xbox One, Nano551 is my gamer tag. I'm always online. I'm down to play. You know what I mean? Like, I don't stream or any of that stuff, but like, I'm always online and I'm down to play with new people.
Yeah.
I don't want a massive influx of friend requests.
No, but people that are really taking this serious.
Yeah, if you're seriously trying to play, or if you're interested in the game and you just want to learn a little more and just kind of
hey, it could talk, be a beginner.
You know,
right?
Like, if you're a beginner, I'll walk you through it. If you need help, I'll help you do early missions if you need it. Because I wasn't, you know, I recently started this game a couple days ago, and it's good to have somebody help. You know what I mean?
Definitely. All right, now one more time, mention your podcast. People can listen to it, subscribe one more time, man.
Gentleman's Agreement. If you are a person of 21 or over, I must mention, it's an alcohol-based podcast, but it's also, we talk about, you know, so, you know, any pop culture, things that we like. We're me and my co-host Charles, we're
very mature audience podcast, please.
Yeah, we're nerds, you know what I mean? Like, we like video games. He's huge into comics. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff, you know, like we like hip hop, new movies, stuff, anything that's happening in the times. We try and stay away from the heavy topics, religion, political. Nobody wants to get into those conversations.
But you guys also review drinks.
We review drinks. We review movies, games, whatever is kind of like whatever's in our lives at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, I talk about a lot of video games because that's what I like to play, and that's what I like to do. So I'll probably mention Naruto on that podcast too. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm really into. I think I mentioned it a couple episodes back when I was playing the beta, because it was such a good beta that I was like, yeah, let me talk about it.
Yeah, let me actually, like, what are your thoughts about Bandai Namco? They've been releasing a lot of great games.
Taking off. Like, they're becoming one of my favorite developers. Yo, like, they have so many good games. They hit it out the park with Dragon Ball. You know what I mean?
You played Dragon Ball for the Switch? I know, or not yet.
Yeah, I played the beta. I played the beta for the Switch.
And they had extra stuff that's not available for the regular console.
Not on the beta. The beta was kind of limited.
Okay.
But the final release promises to have, you know, different, a lot like content exclusive for, you know, so for the Switch.
Yeah,
so I'm probably gonna buy that for the Switch too, because my kids like it, and my son mainly plays on the Switch, so I'll probably pick it up as well. I'm just a fan of that game, you know what I mean? I don't go to tournaments because I'm not that good, but it's fun to play, and I'm like I said, huge anime fan, and Dragon Ball was raised on it.
That's what I thought about you. I'm like, no, I gotta get Nano, because he's like the pro when it comes to anime.
I don't even watch TV. I just watch anime like all day.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome, man. All right, Nano. Everybody, make sure to follow Nano. Nano551.
Nano551.
Xbox Live. Hit him up. Tell him you listened to the episode, and hopefully you guys could play this together.
And if you're 21 and over, Gentleman's Agreement podcast. Yes,
definitely, man. All right. Until next time.
Peace.
We out.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 76-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we finish this up?
I'll just say I'm excited for Spider-Man. That'll be coming at the end of the week. I'm really looking forward to that. Like I said, between that and Destiny 2, I mean, my next few weeks are going to be full. Plus, throw in the Call of Duty Blackout Beta coming right after that, too. We're in the silly season, folks. What did Dr. Strange say? We're in the end game because these freaking games are coming out, man.
It's going to be busy, man. And
it'll be crazy.
Forza, I know you mentioned Call of Duty, Battlefield Beta. What else comes out this month? Is there any?
Forza Horizon 4 is in the NBA 2K.
2K
is coming. 2K, we getting that review code too? A good googly moogly. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
There's so much stuff coming.
Plus, add all the indie games that we totally forgot about. That's coming out almost every week. Yeah, it's going to be a busy, busy holiday, man. Pete, there's any games that is coming out this month that you're going to be reviewing?
Aside from the major ones, I brought it up earlier, Insurgency Sandstorm. Insurgency was a game that came out a couple of years ago, built on a different engine. But now they built out on Unreal. The initial alphas and stuff were like that were played over the last couple of months. Last month I played the first round of betas. It's called beta 1. Beta 2 is actually open right now. If you have pre-ordered the game, you get access into the beta right now. The beta's been going on since Monday. It's going on through the middle of the month. If you purchased or had the original Insurgency on Steam, you get a 10% discount for the pre-order, and you get a 10% discount for basically having loyalty towards the title. So you're getting a full 20% off, which makes the game $24. And if you like realistic shooters similar to Battlefield, you will enjoy this. It's got a it's kind of like CSGO meets Battlefield. So it's fast-paced, but it's super realistic. I had a lot of fun with it. I actually didn't play it when it first came out, but I picked it up last month when it was free on Steam for 2 days. And I had a lot of fun playing it. So, you know, I reached out to their PR. They sent me a beta code, which actually gave me access to it. So I'll be jumping in. I'll be jumping in probably today and tomorrow to play it, and then throughout the week. Other than that, I'm starting a new weekly game session or a Let's Play session on our Twitch channel. It's called Metal Monday. It's going to be playing Rocksmith live on stream. Ooh, and playing music, playing guitar, stuff like that. Something I've been really getting back into over the last couple of months. So
nice.
I'm going to be doing those on Monday evenings, and then my regular Let's Plays will be varied throughout the week. I'm not going to do so much of the competitive or BR or shooter stuff on Sunday nights because that kind of butts into my daughter and my son's sleep schedule, my wife's sleep schedule, so kind of get a little loud. So I'm going to try to vary my schedule to not affect my kids and my wife. You know, happy wife, happy life.
Definitely. By the way, I'm excited about this news that came out last week. The return of Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage 4 is coming out. They haven't mentioned the which consoles, but I think it's for all the consoles. The last game came out in 1992. For the Sega Genesis. That was the last Streets of Rage game. Very hype about that, man. Super excited. I know they were at PAX showing the game and stuff over there. So we'll see. Hopefully I could get to interview and play the game in the future with the developers. So we'll see. Super excited about that, man. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. You also could check us out at different podcast directories. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Radio, Stitcher, we're everywhere. And every other podcast directory out there, man. So make sure to search Gamer Tag Radio. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.